Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
God is in control, that He has the wheel of your life. And from that point, everything works together for good to them that love Him enough to what? Believe Him for what you want? No, to bow to Him for what He wills. Praise God. Amen? How many love will put you in a bowed state before God? You want His will. You desire His will. You don't want to be out of His will. So if He closes a door that you wished for, hoped for, even prayed for, but it wasn't His will, you say, that's okay. Amen. Because what I really want, Lord, is to be in Your will. That's exactly what Jesus prayed in the garden. Not what I will, but what You will be done. Can you say amen? Isn't that incredible? What a wonderful prayer. Hallelujah. And then they get on to us if we ever preface a prayer with, if it be thy will. As if we know that there's just a scripture to cover everything. Honey, there's some scriptures in here that tell you that the scriptures don't cover everything. We don't always know how to pray as we ought, Paul said. Isn't that incredible that we don't always know? In this know-it-all world of ministry today, where we think we got our mind wrapped around God, amen, that we can actually got Him all figured out and got Him down to a science, got it down to faith formulas that push certain buttons and God responds. Now we're in control. We're pushing the buttons and God is just waiting for our beckoning. No, God is still sovereign. Jesus is still Lord. Can you say amen? And when Paul got ready to go to Asia, the door closed. God forbid him and suffered him not. When he got ready to go to Bithynia, the Holy Ghost intervened and said, no, you can't go there. Hallelujah. But when he waited in the presence of God, a door opened to Macedonia, Greece. And that night he saw a Macedonian man saying, come over and help us. Amen. I want to get in that current and that flow of God's predetermined will. I want to bow. And after I bow and discover His will, I want to believe. Can you say amen? My faith explodes when I discover the will of God. Hallelujah. Because if I know I'm bowed to it and I'm submitted to Him, praise God, then any mountain between me and what He wants, I know His Spirit will take up the battle. Can you say amen? I said His Spirit will take up the battle. And the battle would be won not by might nor power. That's brain power or ingenuity or physical energy. The mountain doesn't move by either one, but it's moved by my Spirit, saith the God. And the reason we can speak to the mountain and not doubt in our heart that it will move and will have what we say is because we've already heard Him say what His will is in our heart. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Battle is being fought. Two great armies are in conflict. God's anointing is on His people. And Israel is defeating and vanquishing an enemy. And that enemy is tough as nails. And they will not surrender. They're going to fight to the death. And should the sun go down, they're going to go back, refresh themselves, regroup, and come back in force. So God says, I've initiated this victory. I want to complete this victory. Amen. And the sun is going down. And now the battle is going to have to cease and give the enemy a chance to regroup and recover and come back in force. And a man by the name of Joshua prays and gets the mind of God. Can you say amen? And after he gets the mind of God, he walks out and the sun is going down as the moon is coming up. And he looks at the sun that's about to sink and the moon that's about to rise. And he says to the sun, sun, hold your place, and moon, come not up. And for about one whole day. Amen. Do you realize the magnitude of the miracle that God worked when that happened? Amen. Did you know the sun really doesn't come up? And the moon really, the sun don't come up and the moon don't come up and the sun don't go down and the moon don't go. Amen. They're not going up and down. We are rotating, spinning around. And do you know why we're not flying off into infinity and beyond? You know why we don't fly off this planet? Amen. Simple science says take a bucket of water. Take a bucket, fill it with water. Take it now. Amen. And hold it upside down. The water comes immediately out because gravity pulls it out. But create something called centrifugal force, and you will cause, amen, that to be held against the gravity. Take it and swing it around like that, and the water will not come out of the bucket. But you better swing it a little more than you raise your hands and worship sometimes. Can you say amen? You better swing it with gusto. Hallelujah. Amen. God defied the laws of gravity. He stopped the earth spinning on its axis. And then he overrode what would have normally happened, and everything would have flew off at the planet. Isn't that incredible? He stopped the sun and moon for a whole day and overrode gravity. Praise God. And made it work without the earth spinning, because he's God Almighty. Can you say, man, that's the magnitude of this miracle. But you know what was the miracle? More than the sun stand, they didn't understand the science of it. Amen. They didn't understand the magnitude of the absolute physical material miracle that he wrought when he did that, and proving that he's God over everything. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But it also said something else. You know what really wowed them? It said, and it had never been heard until that time. Never been heard until that time, that God had hearkened to this degree to the voice of a man praying upon the earth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And why did God do it? Because it was his will that his people win the day and vanquish the enemy. I'm telling you, when you're praying for victory, you've got the ear and the heart of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of Israel. If you really want victory, you've got a God who will listen, and a God who will come through, and he will move heaven and earth literally to see that you overcome. What a great God that we serve. Hallelujah. But you've got to discover his will. And you've got to pray accordingly. So you've got to bow before you believe. This is the confidence. There's where that boldness comes from. That we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. If we know he hears us, we know we have what we've desired of him. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for paying off. The Holy Church of God is done. We don't owe nobody nothing but Tampa Electric. Hallelujah. This has been good. It's been quite a journey, and it has begun. It seemed to all start happening very quickly. I'm looking for the rest of it to happen very quickly. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a gracious God we serve. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. I just want to run that little prayer thing by you. We may go back to that in just a moment. But if you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14 for just a little while today. Since we're not coming back tonight and my schedule allows, we're going to just begin to touch on some things. I don't know how far I can go in this study. I'm excited about it already. I'm excited about the true riches of the believer. Everybody say the true riches of the believer. Jesus talked about over, I think it is in Luke, and he talked about being wise stewards over mammon, over what he called mammon. The Bible says you can't love God and mammon. But he says, to prove where your heart is, you know, if you're not faithful with the mammon, the things of the material world, and even the riches of the material world, if you're not faithful and don't stay centered in the Lord and become selfish and self-centered and self-serving because of this, how are you going to be faithful over the true riches? So he separated anything of the corporal material world from the spiritual blessings that are in Jesus Christ. He put a separator between the two. He never wanted them blended. He never wanted anyone, according to Scripture, to suppose gain is godliness. Can you say amen? How many know gain and godliness, amen, are not something intermingled? It's not what you have in the material world. It's what you have spiritually that makes you truly rich. So the Bible delineated and the Bible defined what true riches really are. And I'm going to say something to you today that may not blow your socks off. It'll be easy for your head to wrap around it, but I want your heart to get a hold of it. You are so rich today. You are rich beyond your wildest dreams and imaginations. And I can see the excitement just bubbling because you know that so well. You're so excited about your riches in Christ, nothing else really gets to you. Nothing else bothers you. It's like water on a duck's back when you have personal problems because you're so rich in Jesus. Amen. Compared to what you have in Christ, that ain't nothing. Amen. You don't sweat the small stuff because everything in light of what you have in Christ is small stuff. I had no amens, one holy murmur out of that entire statement. It's because we really don't know in our heart. So many people are struggling with self, with sin, with dissatisfaction, struggling with the lack of spiritual hunger, struggling with all these things. Because we always feel like we're spiritually needy. What you're in need of is discovering what you have in Jesus. Say, if the Holy Spirit would only come down this morning and touch me. Let me tell you something. If He touched you with a billion volts of spiritual manifestation, amen, it was nothing compared to what you came in here with as a Christian. You didn't hear me today. You walked in here with something. Amen. You're not just in church today if you're a Christian. You're in Christ. Everybody say, in Christ. Glory to God. I want to talk about the blessings of being in Christ. How many know we've all been baptized by one Spirit into one body? This is a church you couldn't join if you had all the money in the world. We couldn't make you a member of it if you gave us $1 billion because you can't join this thing. You have to be placed in this by the Holy Spirit. The church is not the denomination. It's not the building. It's a person that we have been baptized into, and we who make up His body are called the church. Isn't that incredible? We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are His members in particular. The Scripture said we are what Eve became to Adam, we have become to Christ, the second Adam. That we have become literally bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Isn't that an incredible statement to make, that of our spiritual standing, our spiritual positioning in Jesus Christ? How many know that you've been baptized into Christ when you became a Christian? Before you were water baptism is symbolic of something that's already taken place. You're so identified with Him, you have been buried with Him, you have died with Him, the old man, you have been buried with Him, and you have been raised with Him. And from that point, there is no place in Scripture that you and I, as Christians, are not always with Him. We are even, according to the letter to Ephesus, seated with Him in heavenly places and heavenly realms. Can you say amen? And where is He seated anyway? Amen. The Bible said God has given Him a name that's above every name, given Him a seat that's above every throne, above every principality and power, and put everything under His feet. And the word seated with Him means given joint seating. God never sees you from the point of salvation apart from His Son. That's incredible to me that God looks at me, amen, seated with Christ, buried with Christ, raised with Christ. Amen. Everything that happens in my life is now so identified with Jesus. Amen. He loves me like He loves His Son. Do I deserve that? No. It's by virtue of being in Him. Hallelujah. And being found where? What is the basis of our righteousness? Amen. It's a position that God has granted through grace to us. And being found where? And being found where? Being found in the first church of what's happening now, of purity and holiness and piety. All of those things are good virtues, but it won't get you in heaven's door. You've got to be in Jesus to go to heaven. So Paul said, and being found where? In Him. Not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Abraham believed God and something was imputed to him or put to his account. What was it? A right standing in God's sight. That's all that really matters, isn't it? God's sight. It's not what she thinks about you or he thinks about you. It's what God knows about you and what God chooses to think about you. And from the moment of salvation, He never sees you apart from His Son. He accepts you as part of Himself. Hallelujah. Brings you into His royal family, praise God. And every spiritual blessing He lavishes on you. And if we could get excited about what we have, just get so excited about the extravagance of God's grace. God is extravagant with grace. Amen. One of the mightiest words in the Bible is the Greek word hyper. Super in our language. Amen. Where sin doth abound, God's grace does hyper abound. Super abound. Much more abound, the King James says. It's the Greek word hyper. It means beyond all boundaries. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's grace goes beyond the boundaries. Touches people just like you and like me. Brings us into His royal family. We ought to get excited about our regal standing in Jesus Christ. Amen? True riches is when you start discovering the spiritual blessings that are yours by virtue of being in Christ. Everybody say, that's the true riches. Oh, by the way, when you have the true riches, you can get so praising God and consistent in praising God that He'll take care of all the other stuff you need in your life. Your Father knows that you need these things. Amen. It's not even wrong to pray for them. But you ought to get up in the morning not holding your praise back, waiting for God to answer this prayer for this physical need, this prayer for this material need, before you break out in praise. Get up in the morning, recognize and review your spiritual blessings in Christ, and begin to praise Him from the heart, and praise Him more for His salvation than you do for any earthly thing He could ever give you. Amen. I'm looking for the church to just get excited again about being saved. To understand and appreciate what it means to be saved. Can you say amen? One day I'm going to bring a message on being lost. Not because there's a bunch of lost people here to hear it and come to Christ, but because there's a bunch of Christians usually here that don't really appreciate what it means to be saved. And I'm going to submit to you that you cannot appreciate being saved fully until you understand, amen, your condition if you were not saved. It's not just what you're saved to, it's what you're saved from. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, as sweet as heaven is, amen, as awful as hell is, if heaven wasn't nothing but a bunch of mobile homes and a cow pasture, I could live good there with Jesus and my wife and my children. Having escaped eternal torment. I'm glad I'm not going to hell today. There's not a lot that can happen right now as long as I keep that in view to keep me from shouting this morning. How many's ever had your feelings hurt? How many's ever had your heart broke? How many's ever been disappointed? How many's ever been disheartened? Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, you're still saved. You're still saved. Shout because you're saved. Shout about something eternal. That storm will pass. Your destiny's eternal. Hallelujah. Now listen, I want you to discover these things. Paul wanted them to discover the true riches of the believer. They wanted them to discover what they had in Jesus and begin to rejoice in it. I think it was H.A. Ironside. I'm almost sure he was the author. He told the story of a Navajo, true story of a Navajo Indian who had become rich because oil had been discovered on his property. It could change everything. Right now, if they discovered oil in your backyard, it would change everything. Amen? And don't tell me you wouldn't let them dig up your rhododendrons or whatever they are. Can you say amen? You buy some mow and a new house and a bigger yard. So he put all his money in the local bank, all of the residuals in a local bank. A couple of times a year, he would go to the banker and say, grass all gone, sheep all sick, water holes dry. The banker would take him to the vault and bring out several bags of silver dollars and say, these are yours. The elderly man would spend some time looking at his money, stacking up the dollars and counting them. When he was satisfied that it all belonged to him, he would come out of the vault and say to the banker, grass all green, sheep all well, water holes all full. He was indeed rich. The Apostle Paul reminds us that we are indeed rich. When was the last time you counted your spiritual riches in Christ? Everybody say in Christ. Let me read this to you from, are you hyped for this? Are you ready for this? Let me read this to you. Ephesians 1, Paul begins his discourse, but I'm going to just start with verse 3. It said, blessed be the God and Father. Every time I say in Christ and point at you, would you say, I'm so rich? Would you? In Christ. It's all in Christ. Listen to the in Christ statements in Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Everybody say the true riches. Oh, wow. I could stop there and preach volumes, but I want to get through this. In heavenly places or heavenly realms, in Christ. Oh, you missed your cue. Boy, I'm so rich. All right, are you ready? That's the way it goes. Listen to this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Past tense, done deal. With how much? With all spiritual blessings in heavenly realms or places in Christ. Woo! Listen, you're going to preach to me. I can tell now. According as He has chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in Him. I don't want you to wind down. We're almost done. Listen to this. Verse 11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom. That's the last one. Listen to this. Ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom I said it was over, it's not. Also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Boy, we're so rich. Now look at someone and say, my grass is all green. My sheep are all well. And my water holes are full and running over. Woo! Hallelujah! Amen. You know what Lehman Strauss said? He said the most significant phrase in the epistle is made up of two words. In Christ. R.W. Dale says the doctrinal teaching of this epistle is very little more than a development of the single expression, in Christ. It is clear that we are spiritually placed in Christ. Every other blessing is a result of this glorious new standing with God. Everybody again say, boy, we're so rich. Ephesians 1 and 3 said, blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's what the church needs to discover. We need to discover more about spiritual realms. We need our heart more set on spiritual things. Colossians 1, verse 1, 2, and 4. Verse 1 and 2 says, if you be risen with Christ, immediately you're to begin to seek in a different realm. Can you say amen? If you be risen with Christ, that means you've been spiritually made alive. You've been quickened, amen, with Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you're a Christian and you've been born again, amen. Colossians says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things. Everybody say the heavenly realm. Seek those things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, and set your affections on things above and not the things of the earth. Amen. Why? Because where a man's treasure is, what you value is your treasure. Can you say amen? That's where your heart is going to follow. So lay up your treasure in heaven where the thief can't steal it. And moth and rust can't corrupt it. It's got to be something eternal. It's got to be something beyond the realm of the physical. We don't look at the things which are seen because they are temporal, subject to change, transient and passing. We look at the things which are unseen, for they are what? They are eternal. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you be risen with Christ, there needs to be a new focus. Seek the things that are above and set your affections on things that are above. Because where your love is, what you value, you're going to love. And Satan is vying for your love. God wants it set on heavenly things so you can appreciate the rich blessings you have in Jesus. Because if you do, you'll get up in the morning rejoicing because of your spiritual wealth. You'll feel sorry for the person who owns everything this life can offer but doesn't know Jesus. I feel so sorry and pitiable for Bill Gates, who has $38 billion in his personal account because he said of religion and his thoughts on God, it is just in the sheer allocation of time. He said, I do not have time for religion. But when he draws his last breath, not only will he have time, he will have eternity, but it will be too late. What a pitiful man Bill Gates is. And how blessed you are with your bills. Can you say amen? I said how blessed you are. If you're a Christian, you have been placed in Christ. This is the message I want to get out. This is the message I will send. For I will call my people from the world, from the material. I will call them back to their spiritual roots and their spiritual values. And I will bless them with my presence. And it shall be better to them than gold and silver, saith God. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise in this place. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul will bring us back again and again to our vital union in Jesus Christ. This is the supreme idea that pervades the whole letter. Every spiritual blessing has been granted to us in Christ. And only those who are in Christ can know these spiritual blessings. F.F. Bruce says, quote, here is the keynote of the epistle to the Ephesians. It struck at once. The writer and his readers are in Christ, members of Christ, and sharers of His resurrection life. Isn't that incredible? Paul is concerned here that believers should understand and grasp the special blessings and privileges possible to them as Christians. So he emphasizes that all the blessings come in and through the Lord Jesus and in and through Him alone. You cannot be a Christian without being in Christ. Christ is the beginning as well as the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and finisher of your faith. Can you say amen? Author and finisher. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14 is one long sentence. What I just read you, amen, and I've tried to read it like it was written in the original Greek. It is not a paragraph made up of several sentences. It's one long sentence in the Greek grammar. Now that's a long sentence. How do you breathe? It must have a lot of commas. It can still be a sentence just full of commas. But there was never a period. Isn't that incredible? All that I read you, there was no period in the Greek letter. It was one long sentence. And I know why preachers preach and go, because there's not enough breath to say all that in a sentence. The commas allow you to pause and go on, to pause and go on. Literally, the thought was to be so perfectly kept that there wasn't even a stop and a new start. It all flowed out by the Spirit's unction in one long sentence about being in Him. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. I was getting sleepy last night. I started reading about this and my soul began to rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. I wanted to just stand up and praise God, but I didn't want to wake the birds. Already shocked the bird. Anyway, moving right along. Moving right along. Birds don't even understand why we don't have feathers. They really get confused when they see us without clothes. I ran past them in the buff from my personal shower. And they sit near it. And Davy says, "Oh!" I said, "Shut up." Anyway, moving right along. You had to be there. No, it's better you were not. Anyway, moving right along. God is good. God is good today. I just can't feel sorry for you. I know you've had a hard time. You may have a harder time before it's over. But I'm telling you, you're a Christian. And you're not just in church. You have been baptized into Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And God accepts you in the Beloved. I'm getting ahead of myself, but boy, that's good stuff. You'll never be acceptable to God. You can't do it in yourself. You'll never be good enough. But place you in Christ, and that all changes. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14 is one long sentence in the original language. The Apostle Paul begins with a high note of praise to God for every spiritual blessing and sustains it, adding phrase upon phrase of majestic doctrinal themes. Isn't that incredible? It starts out with praising for just being in Christ, the incredible value of being in Christ. How many people here are Christian? You've accepted Jesus as your Savior. Paul declares that now you possess the true riches of being saved. Now. See, everybody's after something in God. Real Christian maturity. By the way, now you are the sons of God. You're not just children anymore. You're the sons of God. Amen. You're brought into the family as a full-blown son, old enough to receive an inheritance, according to Scripture. You haven't yet spiritually matured, but your positional standing is a full-blown son standing. Amen. The law was a schoolmaster, children, to bring us to God. Amen? But when you come to Jesus, listen, all of us are on a progressive, a maturing process. But really, as far as your positional standing, you get the whole enchilada the moment you become a Christian. God doesn't put you on probation or ask you to mature in certain areas. He places you in His Son immediately at salvation. You're baptized into Jesus Christ. And baptism in water is symbolic of that spiritual baptism that's taking place. Amen. Because otherwise we take dry sinners and we bring them out of the water, wet sinners. But we don't do that if you're really saved. Amen. We take people who have been born of the Spirit, baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. Now, so identified with Jesus from that point that we are dead with Him, buried with Him, raised with Him. Can everybody say dead with Him, buried with Him, and raised with Him to do what? To walk in the newness of life. Walking in that newness of life is a progressive walk. Can you say, man, there's a maturity that comes with that walk. But your identification with Jesus is instantaneous at salvation. Isn't it good to know that is not progressive? Hallelujah. Now we are what? Children trying to become heirs and sons. No, now you are the sons of God. Doesn't appear what we shall be. But we know when He comes, we'll see Him as He is, for we will be just like Him. Hallelujah. I like that. Paul declares that you now possess the true riches of being saved, spiritual blessings in heavenly places or realms. How tragic that we live in a day, someone has said, that places all the emphasis on material possessions. The one who dies with the most toys wins philosophy has invaded the American church. Material blessings and possessions are relatively unimportant when set against all these spiritual blessings we already possess in Jesus Christ. Nobody could buy one drop of the blood that fell from Jesus. There's no price worthy of that one drop of His blood. That's why you're so rich. Amen. We need to appreciate and appropriate that blood in our lives. The heavenly realms refer to a spiritual reality and includes all the believer's relation to God. This world is not our only reality. We have a spiritual resources and our identity is not limited to this earthly realm. Aren't you glad that you're not just the son of whoever? That you are actually spiritually now a son and daughter of Almighty God. And every prayer that you pray, Christ taught, is to be prefaced with, "Our Father, which is in heaven." What a privilege, what an honor, what an overwhelming grace that has been lavished on you and me. What manner of love is this that we might be called the sons of God? What kind of love is this that makes me want to jump and shout? I want to know. What kind of love? Oh, man, you just got to get in this thing with me at some point this morning. Amen. You are loved like that. Amen. And we're looking around at what we don't have, thinking about what we need spiritually and otherwise. There are people here that think you have a spiritual deficit. You know when you're going to be spiritually fulfilled is when you discover what you have in Christ. Someone said real Christian maturity in terms of that understanding is not going farther on the road, farther down the road, amen, but to find out what is yours, but discovering what was yours from the onset. I'm just now beginning to discover what was mine when I knelt at an altar, repented of my sins, and asked Jesus into my heart. It's called the manifold grace of God. Amen. Manifold means many folds. Everybody picture this huge, I don't have it for, don't bring it because I'll only use it once probably, but I might use it. But if anybody seen one of those big Chinese fans that you put on your wall for decoration? Amen. And it's about that thin when you buy it. What do you do with it? You begin to open it up. Amen. And as you open up each fold, a pattern begins to appear. A beautiful, beautiful pattern, a beautiful picture begins to appear. Some of us have, amen, grace in this little, narrow understanding. We don't understand the many folds and facets to it. But that's what Paul is opening up. He said, we got all the spiritual blessings in here. Look. And he opens up a fold and he said, we're accepted in the beloved. He talks about being redeemed. He talks about all of this being sealed by the Holy Spirit. He's just opened up fold after fold after fold. And we're seeing more and more of the beauty and the power of grace and the lavishness of the love that's just been poured on you and poured on me. And everybody said, ho-hum. You won't say ho-hum? Huh? Honey, don't ever say ho-hum again when you are faced with something this glorious. Sometimes I think I'm the only one that's seen this. Amen. This is in your Bible. Can you say amen? This can be in your heart. But you've got to open your heart to the Holy Spirit to show you more about Him. And what He's done for you. Our spiritual blessings are enjoyed in this present life because God has blessed us in Christ, in the heavenlies. They come from our vital union with Jesus and transcend this earthly, material, space and time dimension. They are eternal realities that transcend the earthly. Aren't you glad that you're going to transcend the earthly? Aren't you glad that God's plan, amen, really kicks in when you leave this old body that's going to pass away and this old world that's going to be changed? Aren't you glad to be absent from the body is to be somewhere where you'll never age, never get sick, hallelujah, never have a pain, never cry a tear? Amen. Talking about those who die in Christ, the Bible said in the book of Revelation, the tabernacle of God is with men. Pain and sorrow will never be known anymore. God Himself will wipe every tear from your eye. And that's forever. That's why Paul said everything that made him cry in this world, a light affliction. Everything that put him under pressure, a light affliction. Because he juxtaposed it over against this reality. He held this reality when they beat him. He held this reality when they stoned him. He held on to this reality and put everything up against this spiritual reality and said, these are light afflictions compared to what I have in Christ that cannot be taken from me. Woo. Take this whole world and give me Jesus. Hallelujah. The world didn't give it to me, we used to sing. And the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. The top of the list of spiritual blessings, and we can't get through all of these, is that we are chosen in Him. It all begins with being chosen in Him. Amen. They that were with Him in the book of Revelations in that triumphant victory, it said, and they that were with Him were called and chosen and faithful. The Scripture is very clear that we did not choose God. God initiates salvation. He chose us. And had He not chose us, we could have never come to Him. Amen? If God hadn't chosen to save you in Christ, and by the way, He didn't choose to save you, amen, suddenly as an afterthought. He planned your salvation before he made the earth. Come on, church. He planned, he knew your name before he formed the earth. My Bible said he saw the end from the beginning. Wow. He knew what was going to happen before it happened. Jesus was not an afterthought. To give man a free sovereign will was a risk that man would use that will in a wrong way and separate from his God and damn his own soul. God said, I'm going to plan a safety net for man. And I'm not going to do it, amen, before I create the world and put a man on it. I'm going to do it before I even lay the foundation for it all. That's incredible. I want you to know God was thinking of you before he made the earth. You're the apple of mine eye. I've set my heart upon you. I knew you in the womb. I knew you before the womb. And I chose you to be my own. Rejoice that you are a chosen generation and a holy people, saith the Lord. I want you to hear this. Don't miss this. I get so excited, but I don't want you to miss this. Verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Did I read correctly? The salvation plan was not an afterthought after man sinned and blew it and God had to come up with some plan. No, God provided in his love and grace a way back if man who he gave a free will made the wrong choices. And he did. The first Adam did it, and sin and death reigned upon all of us. Jesus is that way back. Everybody say Jesus is that way back. He said of himself, I'm the way. Is there a way back to the garden that is guarded by an angel with a flaming sword that says you can't live in this place? You can't hold this position before God? Yes, there is. Jesus is the way back. He leads the way. David was alluding to that. He wasn't talking about Christians moving into sinless perfection. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? They think you have wonderful, beautiful skin. Let me put it under a 100. Let me magnify it 100 times and we'll think we're looking at craters on the moon. Oh, you think you've got the cleanest house in town. It smells so good. It smells like Lysol. Every room you go in, Lysol mixed with potpourri. It is clean and uncontaminated. Would you understand how many dust mites there are living in your house? Amen. Amen. Would you believe tens of thousands of those little suckers? Oh, you don't believe that? I'm telling you, it's true. You say, but I dusted, amen, with pledge. It doesn't matter. They're going to survive. They're coming back. They're going to multiply. They live in your bedclothes. They live in your pillow. You suck them up your nose and breathe them into your body. Can you say amen? They're there. You'll never be clean enough to be perfectly clean. Amen? You can't do it in a fallen world in a faulty body. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? That perfectly, Sister Hoopendicker has finally arrived at a place of such sanctification. She is pure and not even proud of it. Can you say amen? You can talk about her and she will not chide you. You can stumble and she will not judge you. I know of no Sister Hoopendicker like that. Can you say amen? I believe Sister Hoopendicker needs to be in Christ as bad as anybody else does. Amen. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, David said. This is alluding to something God was going to do, not something man could present himself as. Woo! And then he goes on to say, The question is asked, who shall ascend? Well, David sure couldn't. David couldn't do it. Of all people, David couldn't. Can you say, man? But looking down through time, David, who often gets into a prophetic mode, David says something. After he says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord and listen? All of these pure things that have to be perfected. Then he says, open wide you everlasting gates, and the King of glory will come in. Who is the King of glory? Jesus is the King of glory. Can you say amen? And God puts us in Him so that we in Him and with Him can ascend to the hill of the Lord. We can come into the presence of the God who dwells in unapproachable light. And yet we can come because He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8 speaks of the book of life and the Lamb slain, listen to this, from the foundation of the world. Every bullock, every grain offering, every offering that was poured out, amen, these drink offerings and the grain offerings and the lambs that were slain and the gallons of blood, the thousands of gallons of blood that were shed, it's all because a Lamb had already been prepared in the heavenlies, and in due time He was sent to the earth to bring us God's great salvation. Without Jesus being slain from the foundation, none of these sacrifices have any value. Only as a type of Christ could God accept them. Can you say amen? The brazen serpent could do nothing except it represented Jesus becoming sin for us. Amen? In type and foreshadow. Everybody say that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. God had a plan to bring us back to where we could never get back to. You can't claw your way back to where man has fallen from. But God, through Christ, has brought us back. Isn't that incredible? The Bible teaches that we are too hopelessly lost in sin ever to partake of God's great spiritual blessings on our own. Instead, God in His mercy chose us and then made His choice effectual by giving His Son for us. First, He made our salvation possible by sending Jesus to die for our sins. Then He made us capable of responding to Him by sending the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the truth of the glory of the gospel. Remember when God opened your eyes to the fact that Jesus is real and you could really be forgiven? You could really be saved? He chose you. Amen. You responded to Him, but He took the initiative. And He didn't do it the day you got saved. He planned to save lost man, including you and me, from the foundation of the world. This is not election, this is selection. The reason I know He didn't just say, I'm going to save a few, I'm going to damn a few, and in my sovereignty I'm going to do that, what election teaches, is because when John saw Jesus, he said accurately of Him, behold, the Lamb of God, who was slain for the sins of the whole world, who taketh away the sin of the whole world. Amen. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all might have eternal life. That is not saying, I hate this one, I love that one, there's nothing you can do about it, you're either going to be saved or lost, and the decision is just a semantic. No, everyone can choose. That's the last message in the book of Revelation, because God has chose to save, amen, and provided a Savior. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the river of life freely. Isn't that beautiful? But this plan didn't come as an afterthought, saying, my goodness, man is sin, what will I do? No, God said, I've got the safety net in place. And it started and it's sustained by the shedding of blood and the offering of a sacrifice. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation. Everybody say, chosen in Him. A royal priesthood. And holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him. It's a reoccurring theme in Ephesus. All this is to the glory of His grace. What He's done in us is to speak of how lavish He is in His love and grace. Can you say amen? He wants you to be rejoicing. He wants you to be a hallelujah from head to foot. Praise God. Well, I love your little gal. She's got a video of Brother Venable. She's got two videos she loves, The Wiggles and Brother Venable preaching. I guess because I wiggle a little when I preach sometimes. And I get excited and say hallelujah, and it holds her attention. She doesn't know my name. All she knows is hallelujah. Every time she sees me, hallelujah. You know, I want to be known as a hallelujah Christian. That's always praising God because I know what I have in Him. No matter what immediate thing is going on in my life, these eternal true riches are mine and they are yours. That you should show forth the praises of the virtues of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. What wonderful, rich people we are. Peculiar means a people for God's own possession. That's what makes you different. You are God's own special people. Say, I don't feel special. I'm sorry about that. Amen. This is not about your feelings. This is about your standing. Thank God your standing is above your feelings at any given time. It'll outlast this world and your feelings. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? You're precious to God. That's why He chose you for His own possession. The Amplified New Testament said, actually picked us out for His own. I tell the story often and love it of a young man that was in primary school who discovered, they said when he was old enough, that they would tell him that he was adopted. So when they thought he could handle it, they told him. His adoptive mom and dad said they got him at an orphanage as a baby, and he was abandoned, and they raised him, but they loved him as their very own. They went to that orphanage, they picked him up, they took him home, and said, there's no child of our own body that could be any more precious to us than you are. And the kids at school found out somehow, because his sister told them when she found out that he was adopted, and they were saying, that's not your real mom and daddy. Kids can be cruel. And you know, he had a gleam in his eye. He had such love lavished on him in that home. And they were so especially protective of his emotions when they told him, while they were telling him he was not of their loins, of their body, but that they loved him as if he was. And then he thought of how they had loved him down through his life. He looked at those kids that were chiding him, and he said back to them, he said, your mom and daddy had you, and they didn't even have a choice what they got. But my mom and daddy handpicked me. Can you say, man? They had to keep you. Hallelujah. But they picked me. Glory to God. I want to tell you something. God picked you. He handpicked you. He called you to Jesus Christ because He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world. And here's some good news. Everybody lost in this community, He chose to save in His Son before He laid the foundation of the earth. That's why when we preach the gospel to them, all of heaven will help us to win them. Hallelujah. People are going to come to Jesus through this ministry, Sister Venable. We better have a building when it begins. Glory to God. Because I'm going to preach Jesus here. I'm not going to preach politics. Sorry, Chief. They can't save America. There is one who can, and I know His name. Hallelujah. I'm not going to preach denomination here. Denominations can't bring revival. Never had a revival in one that I know of. Thank you for the hearty amen. Oh, I know some people still affiliated, but they ain't run by Him if they're having revival. Revivals are run by the Holy Spirit, not by the Holy Conclave. I'll tell you, every preacher's headquarters is in heaven. Your real headquarters isn't in Cleveland, Tennessee, and it isn't in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It better be in heaven where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want to preach a gospel that transcends Pentecostalism in the charismatic world. I want to preach the cross above tongues and gifts. Shalabakita. And I'm a tongue-talking Pentecostal preacher. But I'm telling you, the cross is more important. Amen. The cross is more important. Jesus is more important. Souls are more important. I'd like to be asked to preach again in the Baptist church. I would love to share Jesus in the Methodist church. I will preach Christ in the Episcopal Church if they will let me in the door. What gets you excited? What gets your juices going? Is it something of this world? Amen. Or is it something of that world? Glory be to God. What gets your dander up? Have you ever got mad at the devil? Have you ever wanted to do battle with him? Have you ever wanted to plunder hell so we can populate heaven? Hallelujah! What causes you to emote? What gets your temperature up, and what gets your heightens your excitement in delight and joy? Can tell where your heart is, tell where your eyes are. Glory be to God. I want to lift up Jesus. I want God to bless this ministry because we preach Christ and Him crucified. Every doctrine, every message revolves around Jesus and Him crucified. Hallelujah. God chose to give us His Son. Jesus chose to lay down His life. The Holy Spirit drew you because God chose to save the lost. What price could we place on the spiritual blessing? The blessing of salvation. The blessing that determines our eternal destiny. And the blessing that will last forever and forever. My grass is green. My sheep are well. And my water hole is full. John Calvin wrote, the more men learn to see the dimensions of their utterly lost condition, the more they will also, by God's grace, appreciate their marvelous deliverance. See, the more distant you get from your lost condition that you saw very clearly when you were convicted, the more distance you get from that, the more comfortable you are as a Christian. You can lose that razor-sharp appreciation that says, Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. Every single day of my life, day in, day out, I appreciate what You did in saving me. Amen? There's another spiritual blessing. I don't think we have time to go there. We got to touch it. We'll just touch it. This next spiritual blessing, He's not only saved us, He makes us worthy to come into His very presence in His royal family. In Christ, we are chosen. That begins it all. That's top of the shelf. But also in Christ, if we accept Him, we are accepted in the Beloved. Everybody say accepted in the Beloved. Verse 5 says, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In the Greek, the word accepted means, it's really one word. To be accepted, it means to be highly favored. And the only other occurrence in the whole New Testament of that Greek word is Luke 1:28, when the angel came to Mary and said, Mary, thou art highly favored among women. Why? Because God chose her to bring forth Jesus through. Hallelujah. And to put you on that kind of level, by virtue of being in Christ, is a mighty thing for God to do. Because not a person in this room deserves that. By the way, I'm going to let you in on something else. Mary didn't even deserve that. There's none righteous. No, not one. Amen. Oh, listen to me. This was an immaculate conception, but she was not an immaculate woman. I'll tell you what got imputed to her. Righteousness got imputed to her the same way it got imputed to you. And the same way Abraham got it. He believed God and it was put to his account. It was imputed to him. Can you say amen? Amen. Mary's standing there. Amen. Mary is a wonderful woman. Amen. She's a lovely lady. She is a pure lady. But she is a sinner that needs salvation. Mary has to be saved. That's why there's no saving virtue in her. The Savior is one and His name is Jesus. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. Mary had to come to Christ. The brothers and sisters of Jesus had to come to Christ. Joseph had to come to Christ. Can you say amen? He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. There's no other name. There is a movement to make Mary co-redemptrix with Christ, as if somebody could take a vote on the earth of who is going to share the throne with Jesus. I'm telling you up front, church, nobody shares the throne with Jesus Christ. There's none like Him. He's unique. He's one of a kind. He's the only begotten Son of the living God, and we have beheld His glory. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God. continue to lift me up, and I will magnify my name. You continue to lift me up, and I will touch the lost. I will draw them. You continue to lift me up, saith the Lord. And I, the Lord, will exalt my son in your midst. I will exalt his name in your midst. I will exalt and manifest my name in your midst. The Holy Spirit shall move mightily in your midst. My glory shall rest upon this place and rest upon you, if you will but lift me up, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. We're going to lift him up. 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 Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The only other occurrence is in Luke 1:28. I got to stop here. Let's. The angel comes to Mary and says, "You're highly favored among women." He says, "God has chosen you. Just like he chose us in Christ. He chose her for this divine purpose." And he tells her that she's going to bring forth a child and tells her to name him Jesus, Yeshua, which is the New Testament derivative of Old Testament Joshua, which means a deliverer and a savior is being sent. That's what the angel said when he was born. "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Everybody say selection. He's selected to save all. He's elected to save all. And I believe in election to that degree. He's elected to save whosoever will. Amen. Why bother evangelizing if it's already a done deal? It isn't a done deal. Go and tell them. Go in the highway and hedge. Compel them to come in. Hallelujah. Amen. And the most compelling thing about the gospel is the fact that God loved us enough to give his son for us. John 3:16 is still the paramount salvation scripture in all of the Bible. And it's the one that, since it's the paramount scripture, amen, of God's salvation plan, it ought to be the one that makes you shout more than anything else. Shout over being saved, and God will take care of your finances. Shout over being saved. Get in the presence of the God who heals, and you can get healing for your body. Can you say amen? Don't just seek healing. Seek the healer. Can you say amen? Don't just seek your needs met. Seek your Father, who knows what you have need of. Glory! Take you no thought for your life, what you eat, drink, or where will you be clothed. Your Father knows. Seek His kingdom, His government, His rule in your life. All these things will be added unto you. God will see to it. Wow! Just seek God with a hungry heart. Mary said, "How shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man?" Angel says, "The Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee." And Mary says, "I don't understand. I don't get it. I can't process it. I can't wrap my mind around that. I can't conceive it. Be more explicit." No, she said, this is why he chose her. Listen to this. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Well, faith is not a hard thing, is it? Just letting God be God, that's all it is. That's all she was saying. God is God. If he wants to do that, he can do it. I don't have to know a man to become pregnant. I mean, it raises the question. I ask the question. Said the Holy Ghost is going to take care of that. In that case, be it unto me. There's a lot of things the Holy Ghost wants to take care of that we're worrying about. Can you say amen? We need to be just simplistic and say, "Be it unto me." Well, how's he going to do that? How did he heal you of cancer? Did he kill the cancer, give you new blood? What did he do? I don't know, and I don't care. All I know is I was dying, and I'm alive and well. I was dying, and my grass is green. My sheep are well, and my water hole is full. Can you say amen? Because I've been to God's vault, where everything that's mine in Christ has been stored up for me. Amen? And I've opened it up. And you know what I'm doing this morning? I'm counting. Praise God. Look what's mine in Him. 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 Look what's mine. Oh, I'm not talking about the bank where my other stuff is. I'm talking about where the good stuff, the eternal stuff, the one the thief can't steal, the moth can't corrupt, and the oil prices can't affect. Woo! Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been to the bank. I've opened the vault. I've examined what's in Christ in me. And I can tell you, hallelujah, my grass is green, honey. My sheep are well, and my water hole is full and running over. Somebody give him praise. Woo! The unsearchable riches of Christ are the true riches of the believer. Oh, I know how to preach prosperity, don't I? God wants you to prosper as your soul prospers. And the more your soul prospers, the more your soul is set on things above. Woo! That's when you really realize your riches. Glory. I think number four, if I'm wrong, we'll change it. But I feel like shouting. On that disc, there's a number four on the disc. Did I give you a disc? I didn't? Number four on that disc. Will you stand to your feet this morning? Praise God. You like this Bible study in Him? It goes on and on and on. It's called the unsearchable riches. We'll never finish this till we get home. I pray this little church will get a hold of this. I pray that every heart will grasp this. You're standing on shouting ground this morning. If you don't shout, it's your own fault. You walked in a Pentecostal church and they're going to call you Holy Roller anywho. So you might as well have a good time while you're here. This is something to get excited about. This is something to get emotional about. This is something to praise God about every day of your life. Amen. These are life-changing moments in our life. Turning points. The enemy's going to come back to your mind. He's going to tell you everything, amen, about this material world and all of your needs and your spiritual deficits, and he's a liar, and he is the father of it. God isn't accepting you because you have prayed 3 hours every day. God hasn't accepted you because that you have given your money all to the poor. God hasn't accepted you because you have gifts of the Spirit and you go on long fast and you move in the realm of operating spiritual gifts. God doesn't accept you because you pray eloquent and beautiful biblical prayers. God accepts you in His Son. Can you say amen? And that means the acceptance of us is without bias. Because since we're all, the only way we can be acceptable is to be in Christ, and He places us in Christ when we get saved. That means we all have equal footing. Amen. Equal standing at the foot of the cross. Everybody say we all have equal standing. I'm telling you, the pimp that just gave his heart to Christ in the Billy Graham crusade has the same standing at the foot of Calvary at that moment as William Franklin Graham. I'm telling you, the addict that just gave his heart to Christ down at Teen Challenge has the exact same standing in the Beloved as David Wilkerson, who has lived for and preached for Christ all of these years. Because we're not accepted according to our performance. We're accepted in the Beloved. He put us in His Son and embraces us in His Son as He does His Son. Quit trying to earn something and start living holy to express gratitude for what He has done for you already in Jesus Christ. Somebody give Him praise. What an incentive for holiness. I want to bless Him. I want to serve Him. I want to live for Him. Because He's given me so much in His Son. I don't want to drag this righteous garment made white by His blood in the dirt of sin and rebellion. I want it to shine, to bring honor to the King who saved me. Can you say amen? Glory to God. I think it's number four. Let's praise Him before we leave. Glory.